Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to see all of you here. Quite a bit of red out there this morning. There you go. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we certainly come to you now asking that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. And Lord, as we are here on a day to remember and celebrate the Reformation, where you boldly used men who stood up for the truth of your word. They risked their lives, and yes, even before this time period, they even lost it for trying to bring the truth of your word back to life. Lord, we ask that as we hear your words this morning, that they would make an impact on our lives, that they would go into our ears, into our minds, and Lord, that they would travel to our hearts so that we can live these words out in our everyday life. We ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story told of Abraham Lincoln. Some believe it's true, some say it's just a tale. But Abraham Lincoln actually went down to the slave block to purchase a girl slave. And what I would like for you to picture just for a moment in your mind, that girl slave standing there on that block and looking out across at the men who were there to bid on her and purchase her. What I would like for you to think is what was running through that girl's mind. I mean, she had to be completely engulfed with fear. Because as she looked across, and it didn't matter who it was, if it was Abraham Lincoln or one of the other guys that was bidding on her, all she could envision was a white man who was going to purchase her, to abuse her, to misuse her, and whatever else at his disposal. And I would imagine that she was just completely petrified with fear. Have you ever been afraid before? Is there something that you have feared before in your life? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because every hand in here ought to go up, and if it doesn't, you're probably not telling me the truth, right? I'm going to say that every single one of us has been afraid at some point in our life, and we may be sitting here today with some sort of fear that we're dealing with. Now, fear comes in all different shapes and sizes. I know some of you may have gone to haunted houses, right? And it's pretty scary, but I'm not even talking about that kind of fear, because in my book, that's your fault. Because you went there knowing that you were going to be afraid, right? But there's all sorts of fears that grip us throughout our life. I'm talking about those fears that come with everyday living. I mean, for some of you in school, maybe it's the fear of the grade that you're going to make. Maybe it's the fear of telling your parent what you actually did, because you don't know what they will do, right? Maybe it's the fear of going to the doctor with something, because you have the worst in mind. Maybe it's the fear of, are you ever going to overcome an illness that you have? Maybe it's a financial fear. Maybe it's a fear that you're struggling with a relationship. And we're struck with fear. And why are we struck with fear? Well, what causes that fear? And I'm going to say that it's just like that slave girl standing there on that block, the uncertainty of not knowing. Of not knowing what the outcome is going to be. We're here today on Reformation Sunday. And I'm going to kind of just step out on a limb and say that fear is what brought about the Reformation. Now, you might say, what is that? I'm going to say that Martin Luther was struck with fear. I mean, as he began his monastic life, as he went to live in the monastery, and as he was taking this vow of being a monk, I mean, we see it, as we saw in our Bible class, he was a good Catholic at that time. And the people were struck with fear about their sins. I mean, they had to confess every single sin that they had committed to the priest. And if they forgot one, well, that sent you into years of purgatory when you died. And so Luther was never, ever for sure of where he stood before God himself. And he was struck with fear. And then to top it all off, as some of the practices in the church became even more corrupt in his mind, they were slipping away from what God's Word said into what the popes and the councils and everyone said. Then comes along the indulgences, where people could actually, for money, buy the forgiveness of sins, buy their way out of purgatory, or even pay and have their loved one years off of purgatory. And then I guess what really topped it off for Luther during the time of the Reformation was the fact that a guy by the name of John Tetzel came along selling a special indulgence. And for money, you could purchase your grandmother's way out of purgatory forever. Completely. They wouldn't have to spend more time in purgatory working off the sins that they had committed in life that they did repent of. And so you could just escape purgatory completely by buying this special indulgence. And what really bothered Luther is that as he began to read the scriptures, as he began to teach at the university as a professor, he began to uncover the real gospel message once again that's found in the Bible. And he found and discovered that it's not what we do, it's not the things that we do, it's not paying for forgiveness of sins, it's simply through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus. If you think about our Romans passage that was read just a few moments ago, Paul describes it. He says, it's not by the works of the law that one is saved or justified, which means made right before God. It's not because of what a person does. It's not how many laws they kept perfectly that justifies them, that makes them right before God. But it's simply a gift of God. It's Jesus dying on the cross and saying, here, I've paid the price. It's yours. In our John reading for this morning, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 again, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What will set you free? The truth. Where is the truth found? In Jesus' teaching. And you see what had happened in the Catholic Church at that time. There was all these teachings that were coming into the church that were no longer based on Scripture. In fact, the indulgences, that was the way they made earned money. And the special indulgence was a, if you want to call it, a fundraiser or a drive to raise money to build St. Peter's Basilica. And Luther was very disturbed by these practices that were creeping into the church that were not the truth. Jesus, at this time, he says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And so Jesus, and the crowd here that's following him, is obviously the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, and what are they claiming here? They've never been a slave, because who were they a descendant of? Abraham, the promised people. And Jesus goes on to say, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What Jesus is telling even the chosen people of Israel at this time is that don't even think you can claim ancestry to gain salvation. So it's not based on what we do. It's not who we're related to. It only comes, salvation only comes through who? Through Jesus and the truth of His Word. I want to back up just a minute to Abraham Lincoln. He actually won the bid for this slave girl. And on their walk back to his home, as they're walking along, he just says to the slave girl, he says, "You're free." She looked at him and said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "You're free." She said, "Does that mean I can say whatever I want to say?" He said, "Yes, you can say whatever you want to say." She said, "Can I do whatever I want to do?" He said, "Yes, you can do whatever you want to do." She said, "Well, can I go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." And with tears running down her face, she said, "I want to go with you." If we really think about that, and we think about this gospel reading, that we are all bound by sin. We are slaves to sin. But when Jesus steps in and the truth of His Word says, you are free indeed, we can, with tears in our eyes, say, "I want to go with you. That's where I want to be. I want to be with you where you are." Because Jesus has set us free. Now, I know that in life there are a lot of people that question that whole idea of Jesus being the only way, Jesus being the one who sets us free. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Himself says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." I know people question that. And I know people look at even Christians' lives and say, well, they are no better than I am. Well, let me tell you this. And I hope you're aware of this. But did you know that being a Christian does not mean we sin less? We don't. But what being a Christian means is we know that we need more of Jesus in our lives. Because we know that every time we sin, He says, "I forgive you." He washes the slate clean. We know that His blood on the cross covered our sin. And so we're not perfect. We know we mess up. Mess up daily, hourly, every minute. But Jesus covers our sins. This is the gospel message that Martin Luther rediscovered for the church. He wanted people to be able to read God's Word in their own language, and he translated the Bible into German. He wanted people to understand that we're not forgiven. We don't have eternal life. We don't have the forgiveness of sins because of how good we perform, or the pilgrimages we make, or the indulgence that we buy, or even the relics that we go and see and touch, which was happening at that time. We are forgiven because Jesus paid the price. Tomorrow, October 31st, marks the 499th anniversary of the Reformation. And we start the markup of the date is when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, which were statements that he wrote against the Catholic Church where he saw that they were erring. His intention was never to break away from the church. His intention was to bring these errors to the forefront, to bring to the hierarchy of the church so that they could be corrected. But they weren't. he was taken away, hidden, so that they wouldn't arrest him and kill him like it happened to people before. And so we have the beginning of the Reformation then, on October 31st of 1517. Which means next year is what? The 500th year anniversary. Now, I've mentioned in Bible class, I've mentioned in newsletters that there's already big celebrations being planned, even within our circuit on that particular Sunday. Someone brought to my attention that we have our fall festival on that Sunday. Well, we may have to change it next year because there's a 3 o'clock service somewhere in our circuit. We don't know exactly yet. To celebrate this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. But it's a very important time in church history because all denominations spurred off from that point, from Luther's Reformation, in which he did not even want his name attached to, but good luck with that, right? He didn't want a church body named after him, but yeah, you see what happened to that too. But anyway, we will be celebrating that, and Luther really did bring back that gospel message of being free from the weight of our sin. And if we think about Luther, if we think about that slave girl standing there being completely free, that's what exactly has happened to us. We had the weight of our sin. We were enslaved to our sin, and Jesus stepped in and said, "You're free. I forgive you. You have forgiveness and eternal life." I pray that we hold on to the truth of Jesus' words that do set us free. And as important as that truth is, that we are used by God to spread that message to the people like Luther did, so that more people will come to know who Jesus is, and more people will come to know that freedom that we have in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.